Now we are going to do something extremely fun. We're going to play a wonderful game called Who is my daddy and what does he do? Yes?
Is your daddy a fireman?
He's probably big. Is he a wrestler?
Is he a basketball coach?
No, 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 no.
What's the matter?
Oh, I have a headache.
It might be a tumor.
It's not a tumor. It's not a tumor at all. What I meant was, you tell me, who is your daddy and what does he do?
Welcome to Double Impact, the podcast where we double back on the movies that impacted us growing up as 90s kids and decide whether they hold up today or are best left in the past. I'm Tristan.
And I'm Greg. Week 7 of the Lockdown Diaries.
We're losing it.
Is it week 7?
I don't know anymore.
I think it's week 7.
I have no idea.
I'm unclear. It's best not to keep time, they say. Or they say it's best to keep time. One or the other. This is another special week. We've got a Friday morning record in Sydney, 8 a.m., because we've got a special guest all the way over in L.A., Mr. Adam Wiley. Welcome, Adam.
Thank you for having me. I appreciate you guys. Happy Friday the 13th, Jason Voorhees Day.
It is.
Oh.
Yeah.
I did not even consider that. Is this bad luck to pod on
no,
Friday the 13th?
No. In fact, it's good luck for me. I consider 13 an incredibly lucky number. I have done a lot of theater. And when I was doing Into the Woods for my Broadway debut, I was mic number 13, and I consider that incredibly lucky.
Ah.
There you go.
So cheers to Friday the 13th.
We'll roll with that.
Oh, it's all happening. Perfect. Perfect. Now, friends of the show, listeners of the show, Adam Wiley, as you may come to recognize, was one of the kids in this very movie, Kindergarten Cop. But you know him from many, many, many other things across the landscape of television, film, Broadway, as you mentioned, Into the Woods, voiceover work. Mm-hmm. So
lots
also,
of things.
You know, in our kind of many things. Too many to list here.
I pretend that I have a job when really I am just a bum. They pay me to act silly.
That's the dream.
Isn't it? Isn't it? Oh, it's crazy.
Let me rattle off a few. So the Child's Play 2, Picket Fences, Gilmore Girls, Hey Arnold,
yes.
Ben 10. I'm trying to give a good cross-section.
You're killing it.
Here.
You're killing it.
But many, many, many things. Even an episode of Seinfeld I saw.
Yes. Yes, a parking garage episode where I called Jason Alexander ugly. I don't really think he's ugly. I still talk to him to this day, and you know, we've settled the argument.
Yeah, good. He doesn't bring it up anymore, like he's okay with it.
I just said that we're good.
Yeah, you're in a place.
I still get crap for it, but you know, that's okay. Warranted.
Now, more recently, we were just chatting before we hit record about your recent foray into TikTok.
Yes.
And the huge amount of followers you've got there now.
It's been crazy, it's man. I mean, like, when I first started TikTok, I was hoping to get, you know, I was like, wouldn't it be amazing if I could just get more followers on TikTok than I have on Instagram. Now on Instagram that time I had like maybe 2,000. And I was like, wouldn't it have been amazing? Yeah. This would be incredible. And I joined TikTok and it was the same stuff as Instagram. I couldn't get 1,000 followers. I'd get unfollowed all the time. And it was like,
promote your thing on something that you have to pay for. And I was like, no.
Yeah.
And all of a sudden I did something regarding my acting work where I was like, hey, you know, you might think I'm this guy or this guy or this guy, but really in reality, I'm this guy, which I got from my friend, Josh Sussman, who referred me to TikTok and was like, dude, you got to get on TikTok. And so I did. And that did really well. And I got over 10,000 followers and was like, oh, this is the most amazing thing I've ever, I am famous now. Right. And I was just making videos and I was like, oh, I should probably do magic too. And no one cared. No one did anything about it. It was awful. So I started diving into my acting work and I was like, what could I do? My first viral video was on this Pizza Hut commercial. I did that. And I was like, okay. All right. You know, Kindergarten Cop is having its 30th anniversary. Oh my gosh, I'm that old. Having its 30th anniversary soon. Why don't I do, this was like about 6 months before the anniversary or more. And I said, why don't I do some Kindergarten Cop behind the scenes videos? That'll be cool. People like my mom videos. They probably don't know my mom was in that. They probably don't know this alternate storyline or anything. So why don't we do that? Mm-hmm. So I bid those, almost every single one of them went viral. Parts 1, 2, 3, and 4. Part 4, actually, the one with Arnold Schwarzenegger, didn't do well. Whatever. It's okay. I'm not bitter.
Yeah. He dragged you down.
Yeah, I guess that must, be it. But it was really great. I do, you know, behind the scenes stuff of a lot of my acting work, including a lot of 90s stuff, some of today's stuff as well, some stuff that hasn't aired yet, as well as now I found this character, Gladys, that has blown up on TikTok, who I do magic to, and I do a little sketch comedy, you know, skits with her. And it's been really great, man. And I'm just now over like 730 some odd thousand followers, and it's been nuts and amazing. And TikTok has saved my life in quarantine. It's the only reason that I feel relevant in life anymore, is really TikTok, I feel. I mean, I know it's not true because I'm still working and what have you, but TikTok made me feel like a person again.
It's fascinating how quickly it can work, isn't it? Like,
really is. You can grow 6 times faster than any other app.
Yeah. We've been dabbling, and actually that's how we got connected.
Yeah.
But we came out the gate strong, and it's so hard to keep up the content. That's what I found the hardest thing, is just to
be able to
continuously feed at the content.
You mentioned I met Gladys via TikTok recently, and there's in the origin of the name threw me originally, because our premier, or like our mayor, her name is Gladys, and you know she's on TV every day, particularly at the moment through
the COVID crisis.
So I was like, is he doing a Gladys?
She's not
bit?
Very popular.
I thought you were doing a spoof on our premier for a split second when I realized that would be a very strange content choice for you.
I just wanted to give her a name that fit, that wasn't Karen, because my mom's name is Karen. And she's such a joyful person on TikTok.
Yeah.
You know, she is single-handedly changing the narrative of Karens. And so I was like, not all Karens are bad. We gotta figure this out. And I just thought Gladys sounded fun.
It works.
It works. I think everyone in Australia would agree. Yeah.
Sweet. Love it.
But the magic stuff, you are a world champion magician right? So just
add crazy.
Another thing to the list.
You know, it's very interesting. I saw my first magic trick at 5 years old. There was a magician, Ralph McIntosh. I was doing Oliver at the time, and I was 5. I was just, you know, one of the ensemble kids, whatever. And he showed everyone a magic trick, and I missed it. And one of the kids came up to me and said, "Hey, this guy's got a puzzle. You're never going to figure it out, huh?" And I was like, "I'm going to figure this out, other 5-year old." I went there and I was like, "Show me the tricks, Ralph." And he did show me the trick, took a handkerchief, made it disappear. I had him do it every day. I was like, so mad. I was like, "You get it over there. I want you," because I could not figure this out. And he was like, "Adam, it's not a puzzle. It's called magic. It's meant for you to not figure out." And I was like, "What does this magic you speak?" So he showed me the trick. He gave it to me. Now, everyone says magicians don't share secrets. They absolutely do. Otherwise, there wouldn't be other magicians. You just only share secrets to people that you think will continue on the good, if that makes sense. We'll use the powers for good and not just to know. And I think he knew that I didn't just want to know. I wanted to do. Went to a magic shop. And when you film on set, there's a lot of downtime. Doing 6 pages of a script takes you 15 hours to do. So there's a lot of time where you're lighting, changing camera angles, moving walls of a set because that wall will get in the way of your camera angle, what have you. In theater, there's tech rehearsal. There is lots of downtime where you're just sitting there lighting some scenes you're not in. Mm. You need a hobby. You really do. Some people crochet, they read, they take naps, they watch films, they edit their own podcasts, whatever. I took up magic. So I started to get really good. 2019, summer of 2019, I became a world champion of strolling magic, which is basically like going around to parties and showing bits of people 3 to 5 minutes of magic and doing that for 30 different groups for an hour and a half. And then they vote on who they liked best. And there's about 40 different magicians that compete. And I won. Wow. And I have 5 awards from other competitions of that ilk. And I finally got my name etched on a trophy and all of this stuff. It's fantastic. And yeah, that's where I am
so
now.
Good.
Very cool.
Actor, magish.
A slashy.
A A slashy.
Yeah. Lots of slashes. Those are slashes for me.
Yeah.
So many, 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 many things. But do you know what the number one thing for me was growing up that you starred in that is like my real deep nostalgia member berry?
Oh, please.
It's a bit obscure.
Ooh, I like this.
It is the video game Goosebumps Escape from Horrorland. Yeah.
That's a great one. And one of the best PC games of all time, to be honest with you. It was so hard and so intriguing and so cool.
Yeah, I looked it up on YouTube last night and watched a guy playing it. And I was like, oh, this is... Because I was, you know, it's been a long time. I was like, it's probably not that great. It's pretty fucking cool.
It is.
Greg and friends of the show. It's like all video. It's like an interactive movie kind of thing with some clicky kind of stuff.
Jeff Goldblum.
But Adam's right there. Yeah, Jeff, that's the thing.
I mean, like,
Jeff Goldblum and Isabella Rossellini's in it.
Yeah. Here's what's crazy about, we had amazing, amazing people acting in it. And what's cool about that is it was the first ever all green screen project.
Yeah, wow.
Oh, wow.
Just switched from blue screen to green screen. And we filmed with nothing. There were no props. There were no sets. It was costumes and that's it. And so we just were filming and had these, you know, neon green boogers for days of just this studio that was just neon green. And we were like, what is this? And then we look at the monitor and go, we don't see all that.
No, yeah.
And it was crazy and so cool. And I believe it was one of the very first things that DreamWorks actually like did. It's nuts and awesome. And I loved doing every second of that. That was super fun.
It's super cool. And yeah, I was watching this video last night and it was even like quite actually scary for a child.
Yeah.
Well. I was like, ooh,
Goosebumps
that's pretty,
was very
like,
scary. Like the books were scary. The game was scary. It's very scary.
Yeah.
I love scary though. I mean, obviously I pointed out it was Friday the 13th. So why would
you're on a first name basis with Chucky.
I am Charles Lee Ray, actually. Yeah, the Lakeshore Strangler. Yeah. Yeah. Doing Child's Play 2 was really, really fun. I saw the original Child's Play in the theater.
Really? No way.
Oh, wow. How old were you then? You must have been like 5.
So I saw it in the theater. I still can't understand to this day why my mom was like, sure, honey, go ahead.
It's just a doll.
Oh, child.
Even after doing the movie, and I knew how Chucky was controlled and who voiced it, I still had nightmares for years.
Karen, what were you thinking?
I'm okay now, and I have a Chucky doll, and it's great.
Love it.
Well, thanks for joining us.
Yeah.
Greg is going to fire off some rapid-fire questions now. I mean, we've already kind of been asking questions, but these are more this or that, getting to know you, give our listeners a sense of who is Adam Wayne?
I don't know. When I know, you'll know.
Who is your daddy? Okay, here we go. Question the first. Indiana Jones or Han Solo?
I'm going to say Han Solo. I mean, to win the Millennium Falcon in a poker game, you got to be a badass.
He's definitely covered more ground geographically.
Yeah.
True.
Sure. That's true. He's covered universes of society.
Yeah.
I don't know.
Yeah.
Universes? University? Don't know.
We'll never know. Picket Fences or Gilmore Girls?
Picket Fences. And here's why. I loved my experience on both shows. Loved. Brad Langford was an awesome character. Love that they wrote my real life into the script with the Into the Woods Broadway debut and all of that stuff. And that's a reason I took a big hiatus from Gilmore Girls is because of Into the Woods. Picket Fences was groundbreaking. It really pushed the envelope of a lot of different hard subjects. It's where I learned how to act and where I honed my skills. So I owe Picket Fences everything in terms of a dramatic actor. And with the company that I was with Don Cheadle being on the show, Tom Skerritt, Kathy Baker, I mean, come on, that cast was incredible.
Yeah, right.
Absolutely. Okay, third question. Bruce Lee or Jackie Chan?
Oh, I have to choose? No!
It will be etched in history, your answer.
I have to choose Bruce Lee. And I mean, his quote, be water. You know, you put water into a teapot, it becomes a teapot. You put a water into a bottle, it becomes a bottle. Be water. Being that he was so groundedly spiritual and prolific in his transfer of power and his establishing his own martial art in Jeet Kune Do. And I have to go with Bruce Lee. I've been a huge Bruce Lee fan my whole life. And number two for me is Jackie Chan. That was an incredibly hard.
Yeah, it's a tough one.
Because I've heard, one of the nicest people living on the planet and is the best living martial artist, hands down. I'm gonna have to choose Bruce Lee. I'm so sorry, Jackie. I'm so sorry.
I think you'd be okay with that.
Strong rationale.
You've given plenty of love to both, which I think is the secret to the answer.
Yeah.
Agreed. Pamela Anderson or Sally Field?
Oh, no. Okay. All right. Pamela Anderson. I worked with Pamela Anderson on Home Improvement.
Oh.
But she was wonderful. And right when I was doing the show is when she had just done her first Playboy centerfold, and it wasn't even released yet, and she was talking to my mom about it. and it was like, I was like, this lady's gonna be in the Playboy, and I was like, okay, Mom, I'm like seven. What is that? And so I'm gonna have to say Pamela Anderson.
That is fair. No one has said Sally Field yet.
Yeah.
One day someone will say how it's selling food.
Versus the flying nun.
Come on.
It's our choice. Barbed wire versus flying nun. Let's go.
Okay. Where are we up to? Question five, Van Damme or Seagal? I think I know where you're going here.
Seagal can be buried. No, no, no.
Yes.
I have been a Jean-Claude Van Damme enthusiast my entire life. I watched Bloodsport on a loop as a child. I was a gymnast. Yes. I was a competitive gymnast until I was 23. So I would do his famous chair split and bounce between the two chairs. I did it all.
Whoa.
I would do all the stuff. I have a Bloodsport shirt. Kumite for life. I even watched his amazing Amazon TV series, JCVD, which was one of the best TV shows ever made. And I'm so upset that it got canceled. For those of you who have never heard of this TV series, it took Jean-Claude Van Damme, played with the idea that he was really an international super spy and that his movies were a cover up, and it totally made fun of itself. He talks about Time Cop nonstop.
Yeah.
And Looper.
Yes.
And it is the best.
Time Cop's better than Looper.
Time Cop is so much better than Looper. It was the best TV show on, and why they took it off, no idea. It was incredible.
And his performance is
amazing.
Great.
Amazing. Like, he was incredible.
Amazing.
He was so good and so funny.
Agreed. I thought it was going to spark a JCVD renaissance. Like, it's so good.
Yeah.
And it just got missed. I don't know what happened, because he is great in it. He does that. I mean, he's played it probably more than any other actor. He's played multiple people in different films, and he does it in this as well.
Yeah, and
but it's so good. And it's very self-aware.
Yeah, when he's that Southern guy in like the overalls, I lost my eye. So good. Anyway, Jean-Claude Van Damme.
So good. So good.
All righty. Next question. Musical question. Biggie or Tupac?
That's a really tough one. I'm going to go with Tupac. I just think the work itself was they're both prolific, but I do feel like Tupac was the first one to have the gigantic impact that he did. And then when his death happened, it was like a world stopping thing. So I'm going to go Tupac on that.
Mm. Fair.
And there's strong rationale.
Probably some more. He's probably more akin to you yourself in terms of, you know, he was obviously starting an actor career that would have probably gone somewhere, you know, it's poetry and he's maybe a bit more layered. Back to film, National Lampoon's Christmas Vacation or Die Hard?
I've never seen Die Hard. I'll have to go with Christmas Vacation.
That is a lie.
I've never seen any of the Die Hards. Don't know them. I would probably love them.
That is a wow. Where's the wow button, Tristan?
Wow.
I'm going to have to go with Christmas Vacation because I have no choice.
Yeah. It's a classic.
It's pretty classic.
Yeah.
And if you haven't seen Die Hard, then I guess there's no other option.
There's no other option.
But one day, you need to watch Die Hard and report back to us at some point.
I know. I will. I promise.
Yeah.
Okay. Question number eight. David Blaine or David Copperfield?
Another really hard one. Okay, so I'm gonna have to go David Blaine, and I am going to explain myself because I feel like for a lot of magicians, I need to. David Copperfield really pioneered magic on TV as a popular thing. There were many of magicians that did magic on TV beforehand. Greg Wilson had an amazing show. Milt Larson's mom had a wonderful show. There were lots of other different shows. David Copperfield really pioneered this, like, I'm going to make things disappear. When David Blaine hit in the 90s, he pioneered things by like Ed Marlowe and classic magicians that, Di Vernon, that not a lot of people had shed into light in a close-up magic setting, and did this called street magic and made it okay to not make things just disappear and give you a weird hand gesture. Yeah. David Copperfield did some close-up magic, but it was like pencil through dollar bill. It was like the ball trick. But David Blaine paved the way for you to say, you're holding a deck of cards, are you a magician? Instead of, you're holding a deck of cards, do you play poker? Before David Blaine got really popular, that was what it was. When David Blaine became popular, it became cool to be a close-up magician.
Yeah.
So, and he is incredibly talented. I'm not sure if he has a screw loose in his brain. I think he does with some of the stuff he does, because I can't figure out any other way you can do what he does besides that. But I really owe a lot as a close-up and card mechanic to David Blaine.
Mm.
Good rationale.
He's done a good job of creating that persona around it too, hasn't he? He's a very, like you said, he's a strange guy. Maybe in his personal life he's completely different, who knows? But he has this aura about him that just makes the whole thing so mysterious, like almost otherworldly. Like, where the hell did this guy come from?
Yeah, you don't know if he is, if he's an alien or if he's just a crazy person. There's, but you're scared. Either way.
Yeah.
He's like, I'm gonna show you a trick. And you're like, what are you on, bro? Why are you sweating?
And his trick is,
deck of cards in your pocket. Why are you sweating? This is scary. But oh my God.
And sometimes his tricks are amazing. Just like, you know, sticking the needle through his hand. And it's like, is that a trick or you're just injuring yourself?
That's not a trick. I got to tell you, that is a medical thing. And he does figure out these things that are not really magic. They are human possibilities. And that is so cool as well. It's how Houdini promoted himself when there was no TV or social media. There's only newspapers and stuff like that. And he'd gather people in Times Square and do these crazy things. And so you could say that David Blaine's the modern day Houdini.
Wow. Very good.
Wow.
Very good. This might be a more straightforward one. Crayola or Posca?
Crayola. Ooh. I mean, I have reasons for this. You know, I did a lot of movies, did three movies for Crayola in the 90s called the Crayola Kids Adventures. We did classic novels where we turned them into movies, 20,000 Leagues Under the Sea, The Trojan Horse, and Gulliver's Travels. We were slated to do three more before the Kids Adventures got bankrupt. It doesn't really matter why, but... It was so fun, and I was a Crayola kid like my whole life. I mean, I had, you know, my favorite colors, and wasn't that kid who ate them, but I loved using using Crayola crayons, and so I'd have to go Crayola all the way.
Yeah, it was a loaded question, obviously. I read about your ambassadorship of Crayola. I didn't realize that they must have been fairly pioneering in branded content then, right, if they're commissioning all these films and things.
It was very new. It was very, very new. And it didn't last a super long time. I think they were like, let's stick to coloring. But, you know, that's okay. Mm. And they tried to make it like a Hallmark type brand. And it didn't super take off. And that's all right.
Yeah.
All right. The final question in our not so rapid fire questioning is magic or acting?
Acting. Here's why. I am 1,000% better actor than I am a magician. It is not even close. Magic is great. It was a hobby for a very long time. I'm very lucky to be professional and a world champion at it. And I'm grateful every day. And it is a passion for me. Without my acting chops, I'm just another guy holding a deck of cards. My acting chops allows me to be able to put together the videos I do. It allows me to be able to think fast on my feet, do my improv skills for distraction or not, or just to entertain an audience. Yeah, okay. And it allows me to have crowd control. And that is the sole reason I've succeeded in magic. My hands, not the best, but my brain, I am very confident in, can put together an entire story with the simplest trick. And I owe that all to acting.
Yeah, very good.
That's a great point. I was watching some of your videos of, I found some on YouTube of you doing some crowd work, and that did spring to mind. I was like, this guy, yeah, he's doing card tricks, but really he's performing, he's acting.
Yeah, and 100%.
Doing little... Can't tell how much is improv versus how much is part of the trick in terms of distraction and that kind of thing. But yeah, the way it just seamlessly kind of flows and you got them in the palm of your hand.
I appreciate that. I
can imagine that definitely comes from the acting world.
Yeah. Oh, it really does. Cool. And I do owe everything to it, but it's quite a wild ride that I've had with both things. You know, it's great. I love it.
Mm.
Terrific. That wraps it up.
Let's talk about movies.
Let's do it. Let's talk about movies. Yeah. Movies are good. I like movies. I watch some.
Movies are great.
Apparently not Die Hard, but I watch movies.
Yeah. Most
of them. Yeah, yeah. So Kindergarten Cop came out in 1990.
Wow.
Massive year for movies. Same year as Ghost, same year as Home Alone, same year as Pretty Woman, Dances with Wolves, Back to the Future 3, Teenage Mutant Ninja Turtles.
Oh.
I've got to tell you, you're in good company that year. But... when we look at global box office numbers, Kindergarten Cop actually came in at number 9 for the year, which is huge, huge.
I'm no Patrick Swayze. Let's just put it that way. Come on.
None of us are.
No one can be Patrick Swayze.
Kindergarten Cop came out in December of 1990, budget of $26 million with a gross return of $202 million.
Wow.
If you adjust that for inflation, I'm sure it's, you know, trillions and billions or something.
Repeater.
Repeater, of course. Rotten Tomatoes, critic score of 51%, audience score of 52%.
Wow, that's terrible. Yeah, that's a terrible score.
Yeah, we can unpack that a little bit more later. The critic consensus on Rotten Tomatoes said Arnold Schwarzenegger substitutes his action brio with some refreshingly adept comedic timing, but Kindergarten Cop is too grim for children and too cloying for adults. I have some thoughts on that, which we can get into later.
Yeah, sure. Me too.
Short version is I think those are kind of strengths in a way, but we can talk about
I think that's big strengths, yeah.
But in terms of personal context, obviously as 90s kids, this movie was huge for Greg and I, which we can get a little bit more into, but would love to hear your experience back in 1990 or I guess maybe 89 in working on this thing.
So I originally went in for Kindergarten Cop in 1987. This is where it all started with Kindergarten Cop. I went in for the audition and I auditioned for the lead role of Dominic.
Wow.
I was a cute redheaded kid. They wanted someone who was either redhead or blonde for the main kid. I got two callbacks, went back in twice, and they said, look, we really want Adam. We would love Adam to play Dominic. Here's the issue. Because this is a huge budget movie, because we are filming so much, we got a lot to film, we've got to go with twins. So it was between me or the twins, and they went with twins. It was just so much easier for them to get double the hours that way. And if you notice, sometimes Dominic has a raspy voice. Sometimes Dominic has not a raspy voice. Like, I don't know that many people. Gus, my football coach. Then there's like, I've got to go put the lasers on the tower. And you're like, that's two completely different voices because it's two completely different children.
Yeah.
Doing the entire movie, which is Christian and Joe Cousins. So they said, but look, we love Adam. We love him. We still want him to be in the movie. We're going to, we have this character, Larry, and he's got a whole storyline. And here's the storyline. You know, he's, Arnold thinks that he is initially Dominic. He thinks that he is the kid that's being hunted after and looked for. What is Richard Tyson's character's? Why can't I think about it right now? It's usually like
Crisp,
right? Yeah. We think that he's Crisp's son, and Arnold's character is going to think that he's Crisp's son, and he's going to be so traumatized by something that happened in his childhood. All he's going to say is one word, and that word is "uchats." Okay, great. So he's going to say that one word. It's going to mean everything, anything. Then at the end of the movie, okay, at the end of the movie. Prize after John Kimball gets shot and he says, "Mr. Kimball, are you all right?" And Arnold's gonna look at it, uchats. It's gonna be great. However, we also have this other storyline about this kid and he's dealing with abuse. We don't know if we're gonna use either, you know, we don't know what we're gonna do, and we don't know if John Kimball's gonna die from the gunshot or if he's gonna live. So we're gonna film both of those as well. So we're gonna film all these things and we're just gonna choose on the fly.
Yeah, right.
So that was kind of like the deal. So I go to Astoria, Oregon. We film at Astoria Elementary, and we filmed there for a few months. They had that was an entire school. So we had our own little playground and all of these things. We had bungalows that we would do all of our schoolwork and stuff in it. It really absolutely was a kindergarten. And most of us were in kindergarten. There was one kid who was in first grade, going into second grade. And there was Miko, who was, of course, the infamous boys have a penis, girls have a vagina. And he was the youngest. He was in preschool. So everybody
was tiny.
He was so small. He was 4.5 or five. Four and a half or five when we filmed. I was 6, almost 7. And I think he was 4.5.
Right.
And we were best friends. Like, we were inseparable. We still talk. But we filmed there, and during lunch, in order for us to not get our costumes dirty, one of the it was actually Christian and Joe's nanny who said, "Hey, give them oversized shirts, call them smocks, make them put it on backwards, and that way if they spill food, they'll spill in the smock and they won't spill in their costume because they're children." And they were like, "Yeah, we should do that." And so you see, we're wearing these smocks all the time, like backstage or like behind the scenes and all of these things.
That's a good life tip.
Yeah, it was super great. We then had to film more specific things and pick up shots in the school itself. Like, there was that dream sequence where we were all napping, which, by the way, there was not milk in there. It was just water, where we were all napping, and they Crisp is outside the window and it's raining. We had to control that environment. You couldn't just make outside rain. So we had to recreate the entire classroom at Universal Studios in LA. So we recreated the entire classroom and shot about a week or a week and a half worth of content in the classroom that we had built, made to the exact measurements of the class we filmed in Astoria.
That's cool.
That's crazy.
Yeah.
There's so much going on in these movies that we don't even.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, for the rain scene.
Yeah, wow.
And the whole point is it has to be so good that you don't even notice. So all that hard work is invisible in many ways.
Kind of like magic, isn't it?
Hey,
there you go.
Wow.
So it's great because you were 6 going on 7, but I guess a couple years younger when you're auditioning. Like, to what extent do you remember a lot of this stuff? Like, Or does it depend on the movie? I guess this was one of your first, so maybe it's more impactful or something. But, like, do you remember a lot, or is it just like a weird, vague?
I remember so much about it. It's crazy. You're right. It was my first ever movie. I was 6 years old. Game Boy had just came out a few years before. And as a surprise, a lot of us got Game Boys on set. Which was super cool. I remember that we were sitting at this, like, in a field in this party, and like, there's these people getting Game Boys, and I was like, "Oh, they're playing Tetris on their Game Boy. I want a Game Boy." And then all of a sudden, a Game Boy was in my hand, and I went, "Oh, we all get Game Boys. This is amazing.
How
this
good!
This is the life for me."
Oh man. Yeah. You know, back then I thought that's how I got paid. So, like, that was fantastic. I was like, you're giving me a Game Boy for this? Heck yeah, I'll do all the movies you want. Right?
Yeah. So I'll do whatever you want. Yeah.
But I remember so much about it that it's insane. I remember a lot, like more than I probably should from filming and and a lot of things. So ask away, because I know most things.
Excellent.
Did you get much time with Arnold himself?
Not a heck of a lot of time. He was filming a lot more than us. And I remember before we ever met Arnold, you know, they were like, okay, guys, so you're going to come in and you're going to, you know, he's going to be this really big guy. So you're going to have to go ahead and look up at him. So Arnold first steps in the room of the classroom, and we're supposed to be like, whoa, and look super, super way up high. I'm the only kid who tilts his head. I don't know why I did that. I felt like it was easier. Maybe I had neck pain and slept wrong the night before. Who knows? No one ever knows.
Too much Game Boy.
Too much Game Boy. That's exactly what. Oh, wow. See, look at you. Craig's paying attention. So Arnold walked in the room, and our sight line went from like,
wow.
It maybe moved up an inch. We were just like, mm-hmm. Like, all we had to do was move our eyes. And they were like, mm-hmm. Get Arnold an apple box. Great. So Arnold steps up on an apple box. Nothing. We still are like from here to there. And they're like, yeah, that's not dramatic enough. So what they did was they had the second AD, the second assistant director, put a smiley face on a shovel. And he got up on an apple box and raised the shovel way up in the air so that we would go and look all the way up as if he was this towering giant. When in reality, you know, he's not incredibly tall. He's not like LeBron James tall, right? He's somewhere, I mean, he's listed at 6'2". I don't think that's right. I think he's 5'11". But, you know, he's not an incredibly tall man. He's, don't get me wrong, he's not short. He's not a short guy, but he's not like this giant tall guy. He's giant wide-wise. He's very big. You know, I remember one time he decided to lift us all up. I am not kidding. He did this. That's all he did. He made two muscles, and all of us kids just jumped on, and he just started lifting. And, you know, the only thing that happened was if you fell off, you fell off. But he did in this very safe way, you know. But he could lift the entire class with his arms. Like, that's literally how strong and beastly he is. So he's not tall, but my God, that dude's a bull. Like, I gotta tell you.
Did you have a sense, as a six-year-old, did you have a sense of who it was you were dealing with here? Was he like, did you know he was a big star? He was just some guy that talked funny?
Well, no, I knew who he was. It was, oh, this guy's Arnold. Yeah. He's two-time Mr. Olympia. He's done some movies, you know? It's pretty amazing. I'm like, uh-huh, I'm six. Can I go play? Great.
Yeah.
Like, hi, nice to meet you. Apparently he's a big deal. Sweet. Like, you don't really understand at that point. Like, I currently am the voice of Peter Pan on a show called Jake and the Neverland Pirates, right? When people bring their 5-year-olds, 6-year-olds to me, and they're like, this guy's Peter Pan, they go, uh-huh. I do the voice, and they go, okay, why is he doing a voice of me? You call them on the phone, and they freak out.
Yeah.
Right? Because they're not, there's this visual where children, they don't have that concept of what the fame entails, what it means, how big it actually is, how it impacts the world, how it impacts other people. They don't really develop that until they're teenagers. Like, honestly, like even a 10-year-old is like,
it's like it has to be learned. Yeah.
Oh my God, that's really cool. You're so famous. But they don't really understand. And as a 6-year-old, I didn't understand who the heck Arnold was. He was just a guy I was doing a movie with that I heard is really famous. And I understand, I've seen some of his like stuff. I've seen at that point I'd seen Hercules in New York, and I had seen Conan, and that's awesome and super cool. And I watched him, you know, pose for the bodybuilding, and I was like, oh, that's really, really awesome. This documentary, Pumping Iron, what have you, super cool, super awesome. But like that whole otherworldly like thing of it's Arnold Schwarzenegger, that did not hit me until years later. Years down the line of, oh my gosh, I worked with Arnold Schwarzenegger. You know, at the time, I was just a kid wanting to play, film a movie, working with some dude who I think is pretty cool.
He can lift up the whole class.
That's pretty.
He can lift up the whole class. It's amazing. He's incredible.
There's something really nice about that, though. I think it's because fame is just it's just something we invent as we get older. Like, there's something so pure about how a kid responds to that stuff.
Exactly. They could have told you he was also a teacher. And he's an actual teacher, and you would have gone, oh, okay, sure.
Would have gone, oh, okay, cool. That's great. That's great that he can do so many things. That's amazing. He's a very talented person.
Yeah.
What about you, Greg? Was this a big one for you?
Yes. It was a big one. Adam touched on the movies he'd done to date prior to this, and I think outside of Twins, there wasn't a lot of...
Twins was so good.
Yeah, and it was like accessible for a kid, i.e. my parents let it in the house. So Conan wasn't coming into our house, et cetera. So this was probably, outside of Twins, I think Twins probably set the benchmark. Parents probably went, you know what, he's doing some things that I don't mind the kids watching. So
yeah,
it was in the house, loved it, yeah. Girls have a penis, boys have a vagina was so crazy.
Such a funny line.
Exactly. So they were the sort of things that really stuck out. And then in my uni years, we used to have these like soundboards that that you could make crank calls with, or that people made crank calls with.
Yeah.
And
there's heaps of lines from this film actually that were on that, like who's your daddy and what does he do? And all these other ones.
Are you serious?
Yeah. And so
I had no idea. And I'm part of a meme. Right? Like if you look up like okay, you'll see Christian going okay, and then like half of my face.
That's funny. Cause I was thinking on the prank call thing too, that it's like before there were memes, it was just kind of an audio meme, I guess. Cause I remember
because
Greg and I used to work together. I remember at work we discovered these on YouTube as well, and we would watch all these crank calls. And I've got an example here if you want to have a listen.
Yeah, do it.
To one of the Arnold crank calls. Here we go.
Välkommen till Memory Hotel. Det här är Anna.
Good morning.
Yes.
How are you?
Yes, I'm fine. And you?
Good. Nice to meet you.
Are you trying to call the Akalla Hotel Apartments?
Yeah. Yes, I would like to have a room, please.
This is the Memory Hotel because the reception in Akalla is closed in the evenings.
Yes, I would like to have a room, please.
Yes, but you can't book it now because the Akalla Hotel reception is closed. This is a different hotel.
Come on, don't bullshit me.
No, this is not bullshit. You are not talking to the Memory Hotel.
Huh?
I'm booking at the Memory Hotel because Akalla Hotel reception is closed in the evenings.
I don't care. I do not understand.
It goes on and on and on.
That's so good.
It's so funny.
Those are incredible. How can you find that soundboard to make those prank calls nowadays? Like, I want them so bad. I think it
used to be on a site called eBorm's World. Is that still a site?
I wonder. Because we used to play with that at work, right?
Oh, my God. It's amazing.
But they were all there. There was, like, Pacino ones and all these. And they were... If you use them well, like that example, it just sounds like you could just make it a normal conversation.
Yeah.
What about you, Tristan?
Big movie for me as a kid for all the reasons you guys have said. Probably the first child-friendly movie that Arnold was in. So maybe one of the first I watched. But we watched it a lot, like a lot. And then same as you, Greg, it kind of had a renaissance later on when the internet became a thing and those prank calls became a thing. And I just became obsessed because not so much in that example I just played, but a lot of them I now realized having rewatched it this week were from Kindergarten Cop because all of the, I'm going to ask you some questions.
Yeah.
And I want to have them answered immediately.
Who is your daddy?
They were like used a lot. Yeah. Who is your daddy? What does he do? They translate perfectly to these crank calls.
Yeah.
And so almost all of my Arnold lines I've realized came from this movie and probably Pumping Iron. Because the rest of the movies, they're more just little like I'll be back and that kind of thing. But there's whatever. These ones have a bit of kick to them.
Absolutely.
I enjoy these ones.
Yeah. I mean, Pumping Iron, he's got some winners in there, boy.
Oh, that is my God.
Oh.
The feeling of the pump.
It's amazing.
I'm so
lucky.
Poor Louis.
All right, should I get into the origin story of this movie?
Yeah.
Please.
Let's do it.
Origin story.
So this is the part of the show where I usually find some real juicy nuggets that go some way to explain where the idea of this movie came from, that kind of thing. I couldn't find a bunch on this. And I mean, Adam, if you've heard other things as I go through this, keep me honest here.
Sure.
But I feel like this one was, a couple of years earlier we had Twins, which we mentioned, which was also Ivan Reitman and Arnold. In a historic deal, that this was Arnold's, Twins was Arnold's first comedy. And no one wanted to put him in a comedy, but Ivan Reitman realized, oh, this guy is pretty funny. There was that infamous dinner they had together in Aspen with Robin Williams. And Ivan Reitman's like, Jesus, this guy's funny. Why has no one made a comedy with him? And so they make this, they write this script. I think initially it was called The Experiment. And no producers would fund, they couldn't get funding basically. And so the three of them had to take very little upfront pay and got all the money on the back end. And Arnold himself, I think his deal was 20% of the profits. Mm-hmm. So he got like 35 mil. So it became like the biggest, the best business decision they ever made. And so it only makes sense that they went back for round two and made this one because this is also Ivan Reitman, which I didn't realize actually growing up that this was an Ivan Reitman thing. So they reunited here, not just the two of them, but also the writers of Twins also wrote this, Murray Salem and Herschel Weingrod.
Awesome.
And actually before Arnold was officially attached, there were some other Reitman frequent collaborators in the mix too. There was talk of Danny DeVito or mm-hmm. Bill Murray potentially being Detective John Kimball. That seems hard to imagine, but I feel like this is probably one of those movies where once Arnold gets attached, the script gets reworked a little bit to make it make more
Could
sense.
You imagine though if Danny DeVito was actually
right? We'd have needed the
You're gonna
shovel.
Need a bigger shovel.
You're
yeah.
smaller than us.
Smaller than Miko.
Yeah, well, probably the same height as Miko. Miko's a pretty short dude, I'm not gonna lie.
Well, actually, what about what's her name? She played the principal in this.
Yeah, she's very short. She was our height. Yeah.
She was pretty much your height, if I recall.
She absolutely was. Yeah. What is her name?
What was her name?
She's in a film called The Year of Living Dead.
Linda Hunt.
Linda Hunt.
And
yes.
she's fascinating because I was watching this with my wife and she made an interesting call out, which I had looked into previously. I thought she was Edna from The Incredibles, but she's not.
Oh my gosh, no, she's not. But I think it's the guy
must
who wrote
have based
The
that character on her.
Is,
yeah, it is, right? He does the voice.
He does the voice of
yeah.
Edna Mode and Guest.
Oh, that's good. Surely she's owed some money or something though, because the likeness is real though.
Well, I think it's more Edith Head who is the likeness representative there. Okay. And that's what that's supposed to be, who is like the most Oscar winning costume designer of all time. So in my
opinion, that's right. I did hear that.
Edna's based off of Edith Head.
Ah, there you go.
Interesting. Case is thrown out. No court case. No, there's no case here.
Yeah, sorry about that one.
No, that's all right. That made a lot of sense. So, I mean, that's kind of the crux of the origin story that I've been able to scramble together here. Obviously, yourself and Miko in this movie, Miko Hughes. And I've got to say, it's basically the two of you that were in everything growing up, right?
I mean, it feels
you
like
this
it.
Movie.
We yeah. saw each other yeah. all the time, you know, and it was great. It was such yeah. a fun yeah. childhood for us because we would just run into each other at every audition, everywhere.
And we get Game Boys.
And we get Game Boys. And so it's like, we want to link up? Here, take this ridiculous cable. Let's link up.
Oh, that's right. Two-player Tetris.
Yeah, we get the cable out of the cable backpack.
I know, right?
In terms of the grown-ups in this film, we had Penelope Ann Miller as Dominic's mom,
yes.
Pamela Reed as Detective O'Hara, and Linda
so
Hunt,
funny.
Who was mentioned as Miss Schlowski. She's so – Phoebe – we'll get into it. I'll save it. And Richard Tyson as Cullen Crisp.
Mm.
Should we play the trailer just to get into the zone a little bit?
I pledge allegiance.
Now, more than ever, to be a teacher requires patience, kindness, and understanding. Fortunately, Astoria Elementary has just hired such an individual. Arnold Schwarzenegger is Kindergarten Cop.
Kindergarten is like the ocean. You don't want to turn your back on it.
Don't worry. Everything is under control. No.
He's an undercover detective.
Famous last words.
Some teaching experience.
They wouldn't have sent me otherwise.
Assigned to find a mother and son.
Did Danny ever say what Crisp's wife looked like?
Before a killer does.
First,
I would like to just get to know you.
A male kindergarten teacher. That's unusual.
He's been trained to shoot.
What made you become a kindergarten teacher?
He's been trained to fight. But there are some things...
You mean you eat other people's lunches? Stop it!
He's never been trained to handle.
They're walking all over me.
Listen, Kimball, you gotta handle this like any other police situation.
You're going to be my deputy trainees. You're not gonna have your mommy's arm behind you anymore and wipe your little douches. You're mine now.
I'm not a policeman. I'm princess.
Arnold Schwarzenegger.
You hit the kid, I hit you.
Wow.
In an Ivan Reitman film.
Are you married, Mr. Kimball?
No, I'm not.
He's not married, Mom!
Welcome to Astoria, the single parent capital of America.
You got a little mustache.
Must be from the milk.
Kindergarten Cop.
That's a nice classic trailer.
It's a great trailer.
It's the old, you know, he's about to find out, you know, one of those.
Yeah. And it does make the movie seem like a high comedy, but really it's a lot of action with comedy, but a lot of drama too. It's got a little bit of everything. I can't
really
see why someone would go, oh, we should take our children, honey. But with the whole, he's trained to shoot. Like, come on. You got to see that coming, that there's going to be some type of shootout or something.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Bit of gun violence. All good.
Greg, would you be so kind as to break down the plot for us on this one?
Of course. It'd be my pleasure. Look, guys. Most of us travel through life in a linear fashion. We grow up, maybe we study, we get a job, maybe we have a family. And then we work years in our chosen profession with little chance to deviate from our certain fate, wondering along the way what could have been, reflecting on our choices that brought us to our current place in time. But what if we were taken out of our life and put in another? Another so different, physically and emotionally, that one could surely not thrive in this new setting. And what if a hardened LA detective, a man so ingrained and wedded to his profession, a cop, that's all he knows how to be, was to become a small-town kindergarten teacher? Kindergarten Cop seeks to explore this very what if. Detective John Kimball is this man, a man and his ferret. A man and his ferret chasing John Crisp. The pursuit leads him to Astoria, Oregon, a small town still recovering from grappling with the evil developers and the infamous crime family, the Fratellis, only a few years earlier. John is forced to go undercover as a kindergarten teacher after his partner and fake half-sister from Austria, the hyperglycemic Ursula, gets food poisoning. From there, it's a race against time to find out which of his students is the son of Crisp. You'll laugh, you'll cry, and maybe you'll reflect on the road not travelled, the road of ferret ownership.
Which was illegal in the state of California for a very long time.
Apparently he was involved in the bill to outlaw or continued the law to... not allow ferret ownership when he was in power there.
Yeah, it's not surprising. Ferrets are very smelly, and they are very difficult animals to keep. They're very crafty, too.
They're biting as well, aren't they?
Yeah, they are. And I get it, I have to say.
I saw someone walking a ferret recently.
Oh, wow.
It was amazing. On a leash. It looked like one of those toys you had as a kid. Where it
with the ball attached to the ball.
I used to really want one.
Like,
back when KB Toys was a thing.
What was it? Was that like your chain?
Yeah, that was our chain of toys called KB Toys. And it was like,
ours was Toy World.
Toy World. Yeah. We had Toys R Us and KB Toys. And that was like,
Toys R Us launched here in like the '90s, and that was
Toys R Us was a big moment when we eventually got Toys R Us.
That was so big, wasn't it? We liked anything from America.
Yeah,
so. Absolutely.
It was like it was like the Walmart of toys.
It was so big. Yeah. Those aisles,
massive.
It's up there with when we got Planet Hollywood. These two things that we thought like, oh my God, we're getting like the best stuff from America.
Yeah.
Like, oh my God. Because we missed out on a lot of stuff in Australia at the time.
Nay. And now there's just the Planet Hollywood casino and like very, very spotty Planet Hollywoods. But man, I gotta say, like their chicken crunch, which is breaded with real Captain Crunch cereal, it's still amazing. Oh. That's the only thing on the menu I liked.
Interesting. Ooh. That's not. Oh, I think I found a new lockdown activity.
Yeah, so good.
Yeah. Hey, Adam, I forgot to ask.
Yeah.
Obviously, you were there when they made this movie. But how often would you revisit this? How often do you watch it?
I have watched it for the first time in over 20 years, about a year and a half ago.
Yeah,
because my wife had never seen it, so I watched it.
Yeah,
and
well, she'd never seen it.
No,
wow.
So we watched it, and it was fantastic. You know, it's a great movie. It still holds up, but I don't rewatch a lot of my work. Yeah. In fact, I don't rewatch movies very often.
Okay,
probably don't have a lot of time.
Well, also, I'm not one of those people who falls asleep to TV. Or movies or any of those things. You know how people like wind down with like, I just want a comfort show. I don't have that. I don't have like comfort show, comfort movies. I'd rather like play a video game, to be honest with you. If I'm going to do that, I'd rather like play a game or practice a magic effect or build a magic thing, something that keeps my brain working. And after like seeing a movie once or twice, I can pretty much like quote it pretty well. And I just, I don't see very many movies past two times as an adult.
Was there anything that stood out to you in watching it after 20 years that maybe you hadn't really considered before or just completely forgot about?
To be honest, no, not really. I had seen it a bunch as a kid and saw it at different periods of time in my life growing up. And even though it had been like 20 years, I mean, it brought back some memories. Like watching Brian throw up on Arnold three or four times in filming that scene where he was eating all the lunches and how much fun he had doing that.
Yeah.
And then Brian and I did a commercial a couple of years after Kindergarten Cop together. And then we still talk as well. So not really.
It's a totally different
thing. My memories were so vivid of it. And the whole movie was so vivid in my memory that like, it's almost like, oh, here's this part again.
Yeah. It's locked.
It's probably hard to even watch it as a movie. It's more just like a video with some of your memories in it.
Pretty much.
It's
what it feels like. Yeah. It's like a home movie that's really well done. It's like, wow, that's an incredible home movie. That's it made how much? You should sell all your home movies, you know?
That's actually really cool now that I think about it. Being an actor from such a young age, you've got all these memories like captured perfectly. I've got no photos or anything.
And what's weird is that other people have them. You know, it's not just like my family. Yeah. It's like people I've never met in Australia have, you know, my memories. What are you doing to me?
Yeah.
Thank you.
Oh, I feel. thank you for sharing your memories.
Welcome.
What about you, Greg? You rewatched it, obviously. How was the rewatch for you?
It was a delight. It was such a delightful movie, man. Oh, I love it. Mm. The kids are still so damn cute. Like, oh, I just, I loved it. I was reminded of all those bits and pieces. I'd forgotten what a gruff cop he was at the beginning. Like, he looks like he's straight out of End of Days. You know, he wasn't like a clean cut cop. He was like, he had
the jacket, the shotgun and the, he's a man.
Yeah,
exactly. And then like he gets Tan France and the Queer Eye guys before he goes and he gets the makeover like that. And then he goes in and then he's like his fashion just goes next level. We can probably talk about that. Like how good are his fits in this thing?
Seriously. Yeah. Like, good Lord.
Oh.
And I love the second he comes home from the first day. How was it?
They're horrible.
Like, that's such a great line.
I feel like that line sums up the lockdown homeschooling that's been happening around the world.
Yes.
Perfectly. That's every mum and dad that has their kid at home and is learning what it's like to try and teach them.
He's having for sure.
That's interesting. Yeah.
Mm. How about you, Tristan? How did you find the rewatch, mate?
Same. I was a little worried, to be honest, because I haven't watched it in so long. Sometimes we cover movies like this and they don't hold up as much as you hope. It's missing that thing. Because even Twins, when we covered Twins a year or so ago, I still enjoyed it, but it had dated quite a bit. Like, I didn't really laugh that much.
Yeah, the jokes were dated.
I was legitimately laughing out loud. Yeah, I was legitimately laughing out loud at multiple points in this movie. And my wife was kind of walking in and out and she was laughing too. But yeah, like you, Greg, I kind of forgot how the first 20 minutes or so is almost just like a normal Arnold movie. Yeah. He's still just a badass with a gun and a pretty bad fake beard, it seems. Yeah. But I'd forgotten all about that. And then obviously the end as well. And I think that critic consensus we mentioned before, saying that, you know, you got this adult stuff and this kid stuff and that's a bad thing. I think it's a great thing. It's got hits all these different notes throughout.
We have to remember in the 90s, there was nothing like that. Whatever they wanted everything to be as advertised. So the fact that it was such a joyous, lighthearted advertising for this movie with a lot of action and some very deep-rooted thought and even things that are kind of scary, dealing with kidnapping and all these people are like, well, that's not what I signed up for. You know, nowadays you kind of expect unexpected in movies and you're not really sure by anything. But by the 90s, it was very much a time of pushing trying out what the unexpected would look like and marketing to where people would just get butts in seats. Just get butts in seats. Yeah. That's all you're trying to do.
It's interesting because I do wonder if it would even get made today, because cop in a school, guns in a school, it's all a bit tricky right now.
Absolutely. Even though there was a recent sequel.
That's right.
There was. Dolph. I didn't spot this.
Yeah.
And Dolph Lundgren. Is there anything better than Rocky IV? That's all I think of. I mean, even my name on Xbox is Death from Above 5. Like, it's all my entire life is either Jean-Claude Van Damme, Bruce Lee, or Dolph Lundgren. So, really, Ivan Drago.
Speaking of Jean-Claude Van Damme, one thing we do when we cover Jean-Claude Van Damme movies, Adam, is we assess whether they've explained his accent, which they do. Actually, more than I realized, because sometimes he's a French person or he's conveniently Canadian. So
he's quite often Canadian, from Quebec. Kind of thing.
Yes.
Yeah. I realized in this they do explain Arnold's accent. There aren't many movies where they explain his accent. They just kind of get you to accept he's just an American cop most of the time. But in this one, he does say he's from Austria.
Yeah.
And obviously his partner pretends to be his sister, so she does the accent too.
Yeah, why are you unhappy?
I think it's just this and Twins. This, Twins and Commando, I think. Yeah, can we talk about her? She is amazing.
Commando, you're right. They do explain. Yeah. I didn't even think about that. Wow, fun.
Wow.
But I think they're the only ones. But Pamela Reed, can we talk about her? Because she's so
funny. Oh my gosh.
That was a big part of the rewatch, discovery. God. She kind of went unnoticed to me as a kid. And then she kind of
I thought she was
it.
Cool when I was a kid.
Did you? I don't remember.
Yeah, I thought she was cool when I was a kid.
Absolutely,
In the rewatch, I've become somewhat enamored with her.
She's great. She's so fantastic.
She's so good. I don't think I've seen her in anything else. I think she's in Junior, but I haven't seen her in anything else. I know she's obviously been in loads of things.
Yeah.
But I am quietly obsessed now and I want to go watch everything she's done.
What I love about her.
She's so good.
She really is. And what I love about her is her ability to be laugh out loud funny and also very dramatic and very serious. And you don't have there's nothing like weird about it. It's like, oh yeah. Oh God. Yeah. Okay. She means business. You know, you believe it all.
Well, that's the thing.
She had a great
intensity. These two guys. Yeah, with her and Arnold together, they're instrumental in making the balance of these two things work. It is lighthearted, but then when it's serious, man. Like when she comes in and she's teaching the kids about not, don't talk to strangers and that kind of
we're
thing.
We're not who
she's,
you think we are.
She's very, yeah. It's good. The movie takes a turn and I think it sticks the landing like towards the end when it gets, yeah, it's serious stuff.
I totally agree. And it's very, going back to, you know, the movie ending, when I am the first person to say stranger, when I see actually Crisp in the, after he starts the fire and what have you, that's supposed to be the prolific moment of, oh, he's spoken actual word. If it would have gone with my storyline so that everybody kind of knows. Yeah. It was designed for me to be the first one to say stranger, and that was going to be like a it speaks kind of thing.
Yeah. Yeah.
And would Arnold still have thought that he was your dad up until that point?
No, he would have known.
Okay.
After going to Dominic's house, I think after they go out to dinner, he kind of pieces it together and goes, I think she's Cullen's ex. I think that that's the, you know, I think that's kind of like the defining moments.
Yeah. Yeah. I got to say as well, Greg, you, this won't surprise you, but I did feel a lot of sympathy for Detective John Kimball in having to commandeer a kindergarten class. That would be my worst nightmare.
That would be so difficult.
I would, oh my God. And especially if like a kid asked me that she needed to go to the bathroom, I'd be like, I don't know what to do in this situation. Oh. It's my worst fear.
Do you know what I had to do? I told you how in Austria, actually, of all places, I was a kid's ski instructor for a season, and I'm talking little kids. And Austria is, you know, it's European. They're a bit more liberal with, you know, life, and even in Austria. And I, on my first day with all these little kids, I had to, no one had sort of warned me, it was just expected. I had to like take all these kids to the toilet. And there was like this 6-year-old kid who I would have thought would have been under control of things, this 6-year-old German kid, Nicholas. And I had to wipe his butt every day. And I was like, this is just like, and I said to the teacher, like the boss man of the school, God. I'm like, mate, this is like weird. And this guy was Austrian, but he did winters because obviously we're opposite seasons. He did the other half of the year in Falls Creek in Australia. So he goes, yeah, look, I know I spent half of my life in Australia and the other half here. My wife's Australian. I get it for you. It's really weird, but you're in Austria. And if the kid needs you to wipe his ass, you got to wipe his ass, mate. So,
wow. So it's like, wow, that is so crazy.
Yeah. Oh, man. Finale.
In some ways, Arnold being from Austria, I guess, was well prepared then for
yeah, dealing with exactly. He wouldn't have offloaded that girl. He said, excuse me, I'm from Austria. I know I have to wipe your bottom. And away you go.
I am prepared.
Man,
I have wagged some of the lines.
Obviously, I respect cultural differences and that kind of thing, but I would have to abort. I would have to just leave the country.
I needed to eat,
so
man.
So awkward. There was something else in this movie that I completely forgot was a thing. I forgot that Kimball supposedly was previously married and had a kid, which seems, I get why it's in there, but it's also, it's kind of just left. It's just left.
Yeah, like there's really, no explanation. There's no like reference. Like, I guess maybe that was put into context to be like, oh, at least he knows how to deal with children of some kind. At least he has some kind of experience with children,
And he's got like he's a bit scarred
Previous
relationships with kids or something.
He didn't want to lose,
but it never comes back.
Remember? He's like, I don't want to lose you too.
Yeah, that's right. But then, it seems like they could have had a way to make it come back and have some kind of impact on his previous.
Right.
Son. Like, has he just given up on his previous son now? And he's like, that's okay, I got Dominic now.
Dominic's pretty cool kid.
It can't be like, oh, remember that reference that I had and we're now one happy family? Yeah, we have that now. No, it's just like, I have a new family, son.
I have a new family. I don't need you anymore.
He had two kids, though, because there was two Dominics technically, right?
Yeah, there you are.
Exactly.
Three kids.
Actually, wow. You made me think, Adam, was that like a big thing as a child actor? Was that like a massive advantage for twins?
Yes.
Like, did you often come up against twins and you're like, curse your twins?
When they walk into the casting room, you're like,
yeah, it was tough. Not gonna lie. Like whenever you saw twins go anywhere,
I hope
they're not good. You know, because it was a big deal to have them with the labor laws work double the amount of time.
Yeah,
it was a very big deal from I would say the ages 4 or 5 till about 10. It was a pretty big deal when you saw twins. And I worked with a lot of sets of twins, I have to say. There was a lot of times where it would be like me and a set of twins or what have you. So it was very common to work with twins on a set.
There's
something I never thought about before.
Exactly.
Yeah.
Well, this one, there's a set of twins in the actual film as well, isn't there? The girls. Oh, so we saw you did a Zoom call for the, was it the 30th anniversary?
We did, yeah. Pretty crazy cool. It was so rad. I had been trying to get a TikTok together with that same group of kids for a couple more forever, and no one was on board. They were like, no, I'm gonna do TikTok. And I was like, come on, it'll be so cool.
All of a sudden,
it's the 30th anniversary, Yahoo Entertainment approaches us. Oh yeah, we'll do. You guys don't want to do my TikTok, and now you're doing. All right, that's fine. That's okay. That's like, and of course they approached me first about the Yahoo Entertainment, and they're like, "Hey, Adam." And I was like, "Yeah, but it's gonna be hilarious because I've started this group chat. Little do you guys know, and I have this group chat with all of the kids that you've already asked, and I'll bet you that they'll be like, oh, we're on board now. Sure enough. And some of the kids were still on board even prior, but not all of them. And then everyone was on board. And then I said, guys, can I finally make this TikTok now? So I just, you know, was able to make the TikTok. And and I guess it made it better. If I would have done the TikTok back then, I wouldn't have had Arnold in it. And now I have Arnold in the TikTok, and that's just so much cooler. So everything happens for a reason, you know?
So you guys didn't know that Arnold was going to show up?
No idea. Genuine surprise. I just thought it was going to be a bunch of us. And they're like, get as many kids as you possibly can. And some of the kids were like, nah, no interest. And you're like, are you serious?
Come on.
I do voice work now. And that's what I want to be known for. Huh? What? You'll still be known for voice work, man. I do voice work. What the hell?
It's Zoom. You'll be using your voice.
Yeah. And so, but we got as many as we could possibly get, which wasn't very many, but we still got as many as we possibly could get. And then they surprised us with Arnold, and that was amazing. That was incredible. So crazy. See, like that Arnold surprise was much more of a reaction because you understand the Arnold-ness now. You know, you've become a giant fan as opposed to when you were 6 years old, you know, working with this dude who was really buff. And now you're just like, I'm an Arnold enthusiast. And you're like, I'm actually on a Zoom with Arnold Schwarzenegger right now. What is life?
That's so good. He seems like such a sweet man.
Really is. He really is a great dude. Like, I fully am an Arnold enthusiast, fan, supporter, all of it.
Yeah, me too.
Yeah.
Me too.
Good dude. And it's, I think completely vegan now.
Is he?
Hold on a sec. Yeah. I think so. Yeah.
He was a producer on that documentary.
That documentary is fantastic if you haven't seen it.
Yeah, right.
Game changers,
And he has a lot of animals just wandering around the house now.
He does. So he's just got llamas and donkeys and
ponies or something.
What, like maybe so a hyena? Funny. I don't know what is there, but he's got some crazy cool stuff.
So he should, right?
He's just one with nature.
Dial
now,
up the eccentricisms when you reach.
Exactly. He's transitioning into the next phase of life. Yeah. I think one of his animals is named Schnitzel. I believe that is correct.
That's the coolest thing I've ever heard in my life.
Is there anything he can't do? He's naming pets perfectly. Wonderful stuff. All right. Let's get into the verdict then.
I don't know what to say, really.
I don't remember asking you a goddamn thing.
I am the law.
I'd like an answer to the question, Judge.
I want to have them answered immediately.
You can't handle the truth.
What are you waiting for?
Say what again? I dare you!
Nothing further, Your Honor.
And that's all I have to say about that.
From my point of view, as you may have guessed, I think this holds up like surprisingly well.
Mm.
I was a little worried. It's 1990. It's, you know, was it a kids movie? I wasn't sure if I was actually going to enjoy it. I really, really enjoyed it. This is very, very rewatchable.
Mm.
And it hits all those notes you don't often get in the same movie. I guess like the closest thing in modern day might be like a Bad Santa or something, but that's even more extreme. But the mix of like the sweetness and the darkness,
mm-hmm.
it's pretty unique.
Yeah.
And they both executed well. What about you, Greg?
Yeah, I think sometimes when we review films that are from this period, some of them have dated pretty poorly. And often the ones that date best are kind of time capsules, often set outside the era. But, you know, like if it was set in the 50s.
Three Men and a Baby.
Yeah.
Oh,
well, I know, like if it's a period piece or whatever, it's locked in a time so it doesn't date.
It's a bit timeless.
I think.
Like A League of Their Own or something.
Yep, yeah. Exactly. This one, I think the, you know, it being centered around kids and, you know, the some of those sort of commonalities of traits of children and the way kids behave and the sweetness and the comedy attached to it, that kind of carried it into that timeless space. And so it hasn't dated.
Yeah.
I felt like it was like a time capsule for early 90s, but also just thematically it was just like timeless. I loved it.
I agree with you. There's not many 90s jokes in it. Like per se, it's all jokes based around dealing with children. And I think growing up, children are always children. And that's why it does give it a timelessness. And I think that's a very astute observation. It does kind of keep itself into a capsule.
It's very astute on your part.
Astute is a key word on this podcast.
Oh,
so
is it?
When we had, Frank Dukes on the podcast, he called me astute. He said I was very astute. And so we've just been joking about it ever since.
Oh.
And we've made it a button on our thing. So anytime someone says something very astute.
I'm very astute on your part.
I was quite jealous because Frank Dukes didn't say anything I said was astute, but he said astute maybe twice to Tristan. But I've had Adam Wiley call me astute, so we are even.
There you go.
Boom.
You know what's interesting? Beautiful.
Does Frank Dukes have a French accent? Like the real Frank Dukes?
No, he's
so then why does, you know, I think in honor of Jean-Claude Van Damme making him a household name, he should develop a French accent. I think that that's just only fair. I'm going to call Frank.
Yeah.
I'm not going to do that. But
we've got his number. We're happy to give you his number.
555.
I don't know if we're allowed to do that. I don't want to be on Frank's bad side.
Right. No. Yeah, I don't think anyone does.
He's a mysterious man.
Yeah, we're not giving out his number, just FYI, friends of the show. If you're listening, Frank, it's safe.
So I guess it holds up. That's a 3 for 3, very rewatchable. We have a little checklist at the end of the show, Adam,
ooh,
in terms of what we call cultural relevancy tests.
All right.
To see whether this film holds up. Some of these aren't as relevant as usual.
Well, let's see.
The first one is did Simpsons do it? I think I can't remember a Simpsons reference for Kindergarten Cop, but I got to imagine it must have been.
I can't recall one either.
Flanders became the principal. Yeah. That's probably.
That's like the inverse. Mm. Yeah.
Yeah.
The other one we look at, which we will not look at for this one, we usually look at if it's been made into a porn parody.
Mm.
Not so appropriate this time around.
Probably best skipped today.
Best skipped. Bechdel test. I think Bechdel test is, you know, are there two female characters with names that talk to each other about anything other than a man? Technically, no, but I would say that Pamela Reed's character is a pretty great female character, especially for the period.
Yes.
She's not a love interest. She's got nuance. There's dimensions there. She's a character.
She's
a boss in her relationship.
Amazing.
Yeah, true. And that's a good point too. Linda Hunt's character, obviously she starts as, you know, crusty old Dean, you know,
until the infamous punch.
But yeah, and I kind of forgot that she comes around, and I really like that she comes around. It's almost the subverting the trope there.
Yeah,
it was very refreshing. Special effects, I think they hold up because they're just well. Also, the fake classroom holds up.
Fake classroom fake. With fake rain and the fake fire.
There you go.
And fake smoke.
Just goes to show. There's effects in movies that we have
us laymen
no idea about as viewers. Us laymans, yeah.
I have to say that I take advantage for that with my TikTok. I go, you know, especially with magic stuff. I go, how can I make that work when it's just me and I kind of really need another person? How can I do this without another person? You know, and try to make it work.
Yeah.
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 It's Gladys.
Yeah, Gladys is the answer. So, yeah, I mean, some of those tests aren't relevant, but overall I'd say that's a pretty big yes. And finally, most valuable player. Who do we think's the MVP of this movie?
Oh. I think there's a couple of MVPs. I think it's a shared MVP award. Yeah. I think if you're thinking about Kindergarten Cop, there are two quotes that really people say. And it's not a tumor, right?
Yeah.
And it's specifically Arnold's response to Ben McQuarrie saying, "It might be a tumor," right? And everyone, "It's not a tumor." Or people say, "Boys have a penis, girls have a vagina." I would put Miko up for MVP of this movie because it is so quotable and so outlandish and
iconic.
Fun. I mean, you think of this movie and you think of Arnold's face. Yeah. Really, you do. I'd have to say Arnold or Miko.
Yeah.
And if not, it's a shared MVP with those two for me.
What did you have, Tristan?
That's fair. It's pretty hard to go past Arnold, but I feel like it's going to be every Arnold movie we're going to say Arnold. So I'm going to give Pamela Reed.
She's so good in it.
I had her as
electric.
My low-key VP. I thought the kids as a single unit.
Yeah, the kids overall.
As a unit, because they all, had.
Yeah, you all.
Yeah, sorry. Not used to having cast members on the show, forgive me. You all sort of, you know, yes, there was Miko and there was just each kid in their various moment. Like the Beethoven girl, I'd forgotten about. She's fantastic. I don't know her name, but she reminded me a lot of, you know, obviously Beethoven, and I think she's in Father of the Bride or something for a brief moment. Yeah, they just, you know, collectively just were so important and kind of in the fabric of this film. So I'll have the kids as a group.
That's very good. I like that. Yeah. A couple of things that I didn't even mention. My mom plays my mom in the movie.
Yes, I saw that TikTok. That's cool.
You know, the actress who was supposed to be my mom.
Is she an actor?
Forgot. Yeah, no, not at all. My mom is not an actor, not a performer, hates being in the spotlight, hates it. She loves doing the TikToks, and that's as far as it's ever gotten.
Yeah.
But she agreed to do this one scene, and that's her only acting credit ever and will only be, which is pretty freaking crazy.
So good.
Of course, I did also a TikTok where when I fell and scraped my knee, you know, we started rolling because I was still already crying from that. And, you know, Ivan came up to me and said, do you want to film? And I was like, yeah, let's film. And so we filmed the scene and I agreed to it and it was great. So it was real. That was authentic tears, even though I had literally trained with an acting coach on set and am very good at crying on cue. I did a lot of work where I cried on cue, to be honest, throughout my entire life.
That's fascinating.
But yeah, I learned how to cry on cue for that movie only to scrape my knee before we actually did the actual take. Crazy.
I always wonder how they make kids cry in these movies. So is that normal even for a 6-year-old to learn?
You could take a kid's toy away and they'll cry. Like, I mean, kids cry on... They cry over nothing. Why?
That's a good point, actually.
Because on my controller's battery. was red. That's why. Okay. That's why we're crying.
Yeah, they took your Game Boy away. That's
sure.
Anyway. Sounds like a day in my house.
Yeah, exactly. Like, yeah. It's like, why are you really crying? Yeah. I don't know. That's the real reason. Richard Tyson was so awesome. So
really
incredibly nice. Every mom had a crush on him. Like really? When he was on set, it was, hi, Richard. And he was just the nicest dude to every mom. He could have had any mom he wanted in that entire movie.
Really?
Every woman on that set was obsessed with him. But he was like, you want to take a picture? Yeah, let's go. Let's take a picture. You know, and just like the coolest dude.
Is it? That's interesting. He's more I thought of a babe he looked so than scary. I realized.
Right?
I thought he looked scary as a kid. But then is he in this? Does he ever let his ponytail out in this? Maybe I just saw when I was looking him up online.
Oh, yeah, he's got
when he has his head down, he's a babe.
Oh, yeah.
He's got a real babe. I never
good
noticed.
Looking dude.
Yeah. He looks like a surfer dude or something. Yeah.
He probably is. He's going to Bondi Beach pretty soon, actually. You guys should go.
Yeah. well, that's it. Oh, actually, of course, should have said at the top, you've got a podcast as well that we definitely need to plug.
I have a podcast, which is Backstage Pass Podcast with Justin and Adam. I'm the Adam in that podcast. Yeah. So you should definitely look on makes sense. Wherever you subscribe to podcasts along with this one.
And what do you cover in your show, Adam?
We interview people that are professionals in different professions. And it's very conversational. And it's just like you're hanging out with us talking about their unique talents and skills. It's very much like you're a fly on the wall of this conversation. So it's very uniquely amazing, talented people. And we get down to like the realness, you know, we humanize the art that they do or sport or what have you. But we have various people from all different walks of life that are very interesting. We're having professional basketball players, actors, comedians, skateboarders, filmmakers, writers, directors, magicians, all walks of life.
Very cool. Yeah, cool. Check it out, guys.
Nice.
Of course, you can find me on the social media too, on the TikTok. So,
what are the handles?
So on TikTok and Instagram and on Twitch, actually, I like to keep it simple. Everything is at This Is Adam Wiley. That's AdamWylie. Very simple.
Cool. Well, thanks so much for joining us. It's been what a...
Thanks guys, for having me. I really appreciate it and super fun.
Absolute pleasure.
Oh, you're welcome back anytime.
And be sure to come back to us once you've watched Die Hard so we can reevaluate whether or not.
That's right. I got to do that.
Christmas
vacation. I got to report.
This Christmas, perhaps.
Perhaps.
This Christmas,
if you're back in lockdown. Yeah.
But I'm not a big believer in that you have to watch movies for a season. So, you know.
I agree.
I'll watch it just to watch.
Agreed.
Yeah.
Fair enough. All right, friends of the show, we will see you next week.
What do we got next week?
Until then, those that are... next week, good question. I think we have Blues Brothers.
Blues Brothers with Dan Illich.
Blues Brothers.
Be on a mission from God.
Dan Illich.
Yeah, that's right.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah. But until then, friends, if you're in lockdown, stay safe, stay positive, get out in the sun if you can.
Mm-hmm.
But we'll see you next week.
Indeed. Cheerio.